You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. On any given day, small business owners have a litany of things to keep track of, from payroll and logistics to customer service and online reviews. But for an estimated 3,000 California business owners, one phone call from their lawyer is adding a new worry to the top of their list. A growing number of small businesses have received lawsuits for allegedly violating the California Invasion of Privacy Act, also known as CIPA. Originally passed back in the 1960s, CIPA criminalized the wiretapping of phone calls, but the law was updated in the 2010s and even recent years to address privacy concerns in the digital age, such as how and when companies could collect personal data from customers online. Business organizations say in recent years those updates have allowed for frivolous lawsuits to be made against small businesses for normal website operations. But consumer advocates argue these protections are necessary to protect the privacy of Californians online. Cap Radio Communities reporter Ruth Finch recently spoke with people on both sides of this debate and outlined a new law making its way through the state capitol that seeks to address all of this. Welcome back to Insight, Ruth.
Thank you for having me, Vicky.
Okay, so what is the history of CIPA?
CIPA was originally passed to prevent criminal wiretapping, like recording phone calls, like you said, in 1967. But it's since been expanded to cover a lot of more digital applications. It's been expanded to cover what businesses can and can't do in the digital age.
Okay, so it's evolved over the decades since it was first passed. I mean, so 1967, that's decades ago. I mean, fast forward to today, in the digital age, how does it apply to small businesses?
Essentially, these amendments have been expanded to cover things like websites collecting personal data. This sort of behavior is also covered by the California Consumer Privacy Act, or CCPA, which passed in 2018. That bill is the reason why websites have little pop-ups to opt in for cookies and things like that. However, the main difference between CIPA and the CCPA is what's called the private right of action. Essentially, under CIPA, individuals are able to directly sue companies for breaches of privacy. But for these breaches of privacy to be enforced under CCPA, the Attorney General has to file a lawsuit, not private people.
Oh, okay. Okay. And you start off your reporting by someone who went through this. I mean, it's a local business owner, Tammy Goldsmith. Her business was being sued for allegedly violating CIPA. So just tell us more about her story. What did she go through?
Well, she runs a business called Folsom Lake Heating and Air with her husband. They've been in the HVAC business since May of last year. And like you mentioned in the intro, her CIPA story started with a phone call.
My lawyer, she calls me. She's like, Tammy, are you sitting down? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, I just got served. I'm like, whose house did we blow up? I'm like, oh my God, one of the systems blew up. She's like, no, it's from your website. And I'm like, what? What do you mean the website?
Goldsmith told me that due to them using a third-party service called HouseCall Pro that was cited in the lawsuit, HouseCall was able to settle it out of court. If that hadn't been the case, her year-old business would have been seriously threatened by the legal fees of taking on a case like this. And if they lost, they could be charged $5,000 per visit to the website. Not per person who visits her website, but per each individual visit.
Oh my gosh, wow.
Yeah. When she learned that she was being threatened with a lawsuit for tracking online activity, she was confused as to why she was the one getting sued. She told me about how she looked up the price of an automatic cat litter box.
And then all of a sudden, my algorithm is just kitty litter boxes, you know, or like the automatic ones. I'm like, who does this? They're tracking me. They're looking at what I'm looking at, you know, and that kind of stuff. They're not getting sued. I'm getting sued.
Yeah. Okay. So how do these lawsuits actually work and how many people has this been happening to?
So I also spoke with an advocacy group surrounding CIPA lawsuits called Stop CIPA Shakedowns. A lawyer in that group, Jim Monagle, said that his firm, Mullen Coughlin, has represented upwards of 500 clients alone that are defendants in CIPA-related lawsuits. Usually, the cheapest option at hand is to settle the suit out of court. And due to the language of CIPA, judges are kind of confused about how to even rule cases like this.
But what the judge said is, effectively, this is unfair to defendants. They don't know what they're subject to. This is literally, quote, a total mess, is what our judge said in rendering judgment. And the legislature really needs to clarify this.
Okay, so business groups have been speaking out about this issue. What are they saying that they want to be done to address this?
So they're holding the position that since it was introduced in 1967 as a criminal wiretapping law, it shouldn't apply to businesses at all. They think that there should be a blanket exemption for all business purposes.
There's no sort of indication in the legislative history that anyone ever intended this wiretapping law to apply to commonplace internet technology, such as, you know, using analytics on your website to figure out, you know, if visitors are unique or where they're coming from or what parts of their website they're visiting.
Okay, so that's one perspective, but there are other sides of this debate, and one involves privacy advocates. So what did they have to say about the importance that SIPA plays in just protecting our privacy?
Well, I can't speak to what intent legislators might have had when passing the multiple amendments to SIPA, but I can say that there is a precedent of courts ruling in favor of plaintiffs who have cited SIPA to protect their privacy. Tracy Rosenberg of Oakland Privacy, an advocacy group, said that there was a huge one against Flow, a menstrual tracking app, for saving and selling data about people's menstrual cycles. That suit was settled last year.
SIPA is the law that allowed women that were upset about this to file a class action suit that said, hey, we should have been asked if this was okay with us.
All right, you're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Cap Radio's Ruth Finch about her recent reporting on the estimated 3,000 businesses that have been sued for allegedly violating the California Invasion of Privacy Act, or SIPA. New legislation looks to address the issue, but it does have privacy advocates concerned. So let's dive into this new bill. It's Senate Bill 690. Since your original reporting last month, it's actually received some amendments. But before we dive into all of that, just tell us about the original bill. What would it do?
Essentially, it would have given the coalitions like Stop SIPA Shakedowns exactly what they wanted, a blanket exemption of all business uses. That was an issue for a lot of privacy advocates, including Tracy Rosenberg from Oakland Privacy, like to talk about earlier, and Dolores Huerta, who showed up in person at the July 1st Privacy Committee hearing.
Okay, well, we're going to get into Dolores Huerta in just a moment and why there's a connection with SIPA. So this bill has been going through an amendment and a negotiation process. How are privacy advocates trying to reform the bill?
So advocates like Rosenberg recognize that these lawsuits are a problem for business owners. But Rosenberg said that there's a way to reform the law to protect small businesses without losing privacy protections through a blanket pass to collect information for business purposes.
We needed to have a little bit of nuance and identify what we were really concerned about stopping, where the privacy risks really were, and that we could update SIPA without throwing out the baby with the bathwater.
Okay, so the bill passed the Privacy Committee on July 1st. What changes did it go through?
So I also spoke with Usama Koff, a lawyer for a firm called Fisher Phillips and a representative for Stop SIPA Shakedowns, about the changes that were made. He also gave testimony at the July 1st meeting. He told me that the three major amendments to the law that people are getting sued over are amendments that protect sensitive information, protecting from wiretapping, like actively recording behavior on a website, and what's called a pen register, which is essentially the kind of tracing that allows for things like website analytics.
Okay, when it comes to businesses that are part of the Stop SIPA Shakedowns coalition, how do they feel about all of these legislative amendments?
Well, they're not too happy about it. According to Koff, some of the lawsuits brought to businesses by these lawyers making hundreds of suits don't just cite that Third Amendment, they cite all three.
A lawsuit has multiple different claims under different sections of SIPA. And SB 690 addresses only one of those sections, then only that one claim is the one that's going to go away.
What do privacy advocates have to say about that?
Well, all the privacy advocates present during the committee were fairly happy with the change. Rosenberg said it was a compromise, but that's a part of advocacy work.
I mean, on the whole, it seems like we were really able to kind of climb this mountain and have something come out of it that I think does provide some real relief for small businesses without basically letting big tech companies off the hook.
However, the only privacy advocate present that didn't urge the legislature to pass the bill through committee was Dolores Huerta.
Okay, so let's get back to Dolores Huerta, the iconic labor rights leader. Feels like an unexpected player when it comes to SIPA. So Why did she show up even in person?
Yeah, so her daughter was present at the previous committee hearing for that. So I imagine that there was some connection there. But she was worried about the retroactivity clause of the bill. Essentially, this clause would make it so that every single lawsuit that cites that Third Amendment that protects pen registers makes it so that those could basically get thrown out if they'd happened within the last 2 years.
We still are deeply concerned about the effort to restore the retroactivity provision. Californians should not lose legal protections for conduct that has already occurred. And companies should not receive a retroactive pass for violating people's privacy.
Okay, so let's just unpack the retroactivity clause just a little bit. What is the main issue and sticking point with this?
When I asked Rosenberg about it, she said that she shared these concerns with Huerta, but that concessions had to be made with the author of the bill, Democratic State Senator Ana Caballero.
I'm generally an advocate that you should follow the law, and if you're breaking the law, there are consequences, and that was the law. I think retroactivity is generally tricky and generally not the best policy, but it was one of the things that she felt it was really important to kind of keep in there.
All right. Lots of debate. Lots of amendments. There's negotiations happening. I mean, this bill is still active. It is live. So what is next?
So it was approved by the Privacy Committee unanimously with these amendments I talked about earlier. Right now, though, the legislature is in recess. But when they come back on August 3rd, they'll decide whether to suspend it. Essentially, they'll table it and revisit at the following legislative session or to move forward with it into the Appropriations Committee. Essentially, they're just going to look at if this bill would have any impact fiscally on the budget. But honestly, we'll just have to wait and see.
Which means more reporting for you.
Yeah, definitely.
In the future. I just found it so interesting, Ruth, that, you know, all of us go online and we do get those windows that pop up. Like, what do you want to share? Do not share my personal information. You can toggle back and forth with different settings. And so you do think of like bigger companies, right? Like tech companies. You don't necessarily think of an HVAC company getting looped into all of this. I mean, what surprised you most or what did you find most interesting in this recent reporting that you've done?
Well, I really found that it was interesting that there was essentially these two sides, right? There was the privacy advocate sides and these business sides, these sort of big business interests. And it kind of seemed to me, at least, that the big businesses were trying to loop themselves in with these smaller businesses, with these coalitions. And I think that that is kind of where the issue lies, because, I mean, we heard Tammy herself say that, like, she doesn't think no one should be getting sued, right? She thinks that the people who are tracking her data should be getting sued, right? And so I think, like, that's where this sort of nuance lies, and that we need to separate, you know, big companies like Meta. Oracle was another one that Tracy Rosenberg brought up to me that was got sued for surreptitious tracking. That we need to be able to separate these businesses out. And so that was, I thought was really, really compelling to me, because I actually was directed to Tammy Goldsmith by a press person for Stop SIPA Shakedowns. So I thought it was super interesting that they were directing me towards these small businesses, but not all the small businesses were, you know, in line with this sort of thing that no one should be getting sued.
Ruth, thank you so much for sharing your reporting.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
That is Cap Radio Communities reporter Ruth Finch. She talked about her recent reporting on an increase of lawsuits against businesses that they are facing for allegedly violating the California Invasion of Privacy Act, also known as SIPA. We have a link to Ruth's reporting on our Insight page. Still ahead, we'll meet two homegrown performers who have taken their careers far beyond Sacramento stages, returning to the local theater company where it all began for a special performance. We'll get a taste of the musical, The Last 5 Years. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.